Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 5. This one is entitled Stay on Target, as we are headed to Gen Con 2015. I am The Brant, your host, and with me as always is...
Your co-host, Brian Raddatz.
Yep, and we are excited to bring you episode number 5 here of the Portal Gaming Podcast. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, part of the Time Machine in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can go to www.timemachineportal.com. So later in the episode, we're going to give you a full rundown of Gen Con, what we're doing there, games we'll see, all that kind of stuff. But I am super excited. Are you excited, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, this podcast is being recorded on Sunday, and we are leaving Tuesday morning to get out there. So yeah,
bright and early, driving out. So
yeah, should be fun. So we'll talk more about that later in the episode. Hey, we're going to change things up a little bit. I want to start with some upcoming events that we have at the store, so we can spend a majority of our time on the discussion about Gen Con. So first off, we are playing the Game of Thrones board game, and this is on August 8th at 11 a.m. at the Portal. And so you can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. You can go into the store, or you can go to Facebook and go to the Portal Facebook page and sign up to play there. So don't worry about slots. We'll have enough. We'll have another game if we have enough people. But this is the Game of Thrones board game. One thing we are asking you to do if you're planning on playing is you can go to Fantasy Flight Games website and you can view the video about how to play. And that way everybody will have some information. I will run down instructions at 11 a.m. for everybody. But it's great if everybody's already kind of seen a little bit. It could be a little confusing, but at the end of the day, it's a pretty easy game once you play around. It's not so bad. So this is for people who have played it or have not, but we're excited. Do make sure you save time for this game. It can take a while, 4 hours or more. So that is happening. And the next thing we're excited about is we have another contest. Contest! Love contests. You like contests, Brian?
I do. This is our second one, right?
This is our second contest. So in this one, we are going to give away a copy of The Resistance, a classic social deduction game. And so we are giving away a copy of The Resistance. So what we need you to do is email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com and tell us what your favorite social deduction game is. And as well, we'd love to hear about a great game that you played, you know, a crazy win or a crazy loss, or just unique experience you had. Maybe you played Werewolf with 150 people. That'd be a neat story to hear about. Or just anything else you'd like to tell us about your experience with one of these games. We'd like to share that on the podcast in a future episode. So this contest, you can submit all the way up to August 7th. So that'll be the cutoff date. And then we'll announce it on our podcast there. It'll probably be 2 podcasts from now because we're planning on doing a podcast live from Gen Con. You won't hear it live, but we're going to record it there. And then we'll release that one to you. And then we should do one more. So 2 podcasts from now, we should announce the winner for The Resistance. So that's a good social deduction game. You like The Resistance, Brian?
No.
You don't like that one?
It's okay. That was a little extreme, but I don't know. Social deduction games aren't necessarily in my wheelhouse, but I'll still play it. And in the right setting, it's fun.
I put him into a trap there a little bit. So
I wasn't going to lie. I mean,
no, that's fine. So these are our upcoming events. So let's move on to our next segment, What's on Your Table? So I'm going to start this off. And I'm going to talk about a game I played, a little game. It's a 2-player game. This is published by Blue Orange. It's called Longhorn. And this is made by Bruno Cathala, who made 5 Tribes, which was last year's most people's favorite game from last year. Many people's definitely topped the list. And this definitely has hints of 5 Tribes in it, but it's a 2-player game. So in this one, the theme is kind of Wild West, and you are both cattle thieves. You're both playing cattle thieves, and you have to try to acquire as many cattle at the end of the game. So you lay out, there's 9 tiles, you shuffle them up, and you lay them all out. And so it's a random setup each time. And then they tell you a number of cows to put on each of the tiles. And then there's these little like action tiles that go on each one. And then one person goes first, and the other person plays the little token. There's a two-sided token with each player on one side. They put it on a space. So what you do on your turn is you steal all the cattle of one color, and there's, I believe, four different color cattle. Black, orange, green, and white. So you steal all of one color, and let's say I steal two cattle. I then move the token two spaces. You can't move diagonally, only orthogonally, and that becomes the next space, and I flip the token, and now it's the other player's turn. And you go back and forth doing this. When a space empties, the player who's there gets the tile that's on the space. So a lot of them are gold nuggets, so they're just worth more money at the end of the game. But a few of them are negative effects. And so they can have a negative effect, so you don't want to end up landing there. And you just keep playing back and forth until nobody can make a move or till the person can't make a move. So they steal cattle, but then they can't go to a place because you can't go to a site that has no more cattle. So once the distance away, there's just no way for them to make that move. The game ends. So it's pretty quick. It's probably more in the 10 minutes. I think it says 15 minutes on the box, but it's 10 minutes. And then what you do is you count up all your cattle. And cattle, this is a little confusing, each cattle is worth an amount of money equal to the number of that color still left on the board. All right, let's do that. So I've got three orange cattle in my possession, and there's two orange cattle left on the board. So each of those cattle are worth $200. So I get $600. If all nine of them come off the board, then they're worth zero because there's nothing left on the board. However, there is an alternate win. If you get all nine of one color, you win. So I didn't have it happen in the two games I played, but I suppose that could happen. So it was a neat game. And that pick the cattle and then move a certain number of spaces, it was kind of like backwards Five Tribes. Because Five Tribes, you pick the guys up, you move them to the space, and then you kind of do the thing. But this was almost backwards. You take what you want from the space and then you move. So that was that on these little tokens. And it just took like 10 or 15 minutes. I thought it was a good game. I wasn't sure about replayability. If I played this game 10 times, would it just kind of get to be samey? But I definitely felt like my second play was more interesting than my first because I kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah, and it was two player, right?
Yep.
And it felt like it was a good... It hit your target demographic. Like it was a good adult and kid game or...
I'm not sure if it's a kid game. I mean, like, it's hard for me with kids. I always think younger, but I mean, I'm sure a 10, 12-year-old would be fine with it.
Yeah.
But
I guess I'm asking because Blue Orange has kind of been known. Like, they've done all these awesome kids games. You know, they've got really good production values. And, you know, but they are focused specifically like more toward that age bracket. So it's just funny. Like, this one kind of flew under the radar for me. I haven't played it or really... seen it. I only know the run through that you just gave. but it just seems like it's one that is kind of a trial for like some other stuff that'll be coming out. And I know like Blue Orange has some other stuff that is trying to get into that strategy game sort of bracket. So
yeah, I definitely would put it in the strategy game bracket. It was not it was simple in mechanic, but I didn't think it was simple in thought. There were lots of options. Like, do I want to take this one cattle and then move to one of these two spaces? Or do I want to take two cattle and move to these three spaces? So, I mean, there was plenty of options for what we want to do. In the beginning, as the game wound on, you kind of got stuck. But that was the point. I'm supposed to put you somewhere that you now only have one option, and that option will benefit me on my next turn. Okay. So, you know, that kind of happens. But I feel like more than that being a negative, that was kind of the point of the game, was let me work this so that works out. I definitely think because of the randomness, it's great probably for replayability. I would think you've got tiles in different places, and there was a ton of those action tiles. You only put nine out, but there's probably 20 of them in there, if not more. But I do wonder, there's probably going to be a bad game where it's like there's all these negative effects and no way to avoid them, and we're just pulling our hair out a lot, and it's not very fun. It's just you get to the end, you're like, I had $300, I had nothing. Like, but yeah. We were typically, you know, the winner would be $1,800, $1,900. The other person would be in like the 1,500-1,600 range or whatever, somewhere around there. But no, it was definitely good. I think in the first game I played too, the other person managed to clear all the cattle that I had a big chunk of off the board, and that took a bunch of points away from me. So that was a good strategic move. So
yeah, it sounds like a really neat like two player filler sort of.
Oh, definitely a filler, light in terms of time. Yeah, but it was fun. I liked it. Nice. I really did. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it'd be too simple. Coming from Blue Orange, but it was good.
Nice.
So what's on your table, Brian? What have you been playing?
Yeah, so the first one I want to touch base on is an older game by Alea and Ravensburger. It might be out of print at the moment, but I guess that's not the point. So the game I'm talking about is Glenmore, which is a really neat, like, you're like a Scottish clans, you're kind of going through, you're building like your village out of like in your tableau or whatnot. And the like the biggest mechanism is you've got this like action track with all the buildings laid out. And the person farthest, like in the farthest in the back is going to go. And then you're going to move your person up the track, pick a new tile to add it to your village. And you're getting like, you know, you're getting different like farms or like a tavern or different buildings, castles, stuff like that. And you're adding it to your tableau and you're getting different like, you're getting like different resources or other like clansmen, stuff like that. That sounds bad. Like Scottish clansmen. So you're getting that sort of stuff. And you're just kind of going through, like, the person in last is always going to go, it's going to be their turn. So there isn't, like, a dedicated first, second, third player. It's just kind of whoever's in the back.
I love that mechanic in games.
Yeah, I need to try more like this.
You need to play Patchwork.
And that's a similar thing?
Yeah, it's got that same mechanic. I love that. Like, you can try to, ooh, let me see if I can take three turns in a row here.
Yeah.
You know? And well, my third turn will be a way over the top. But
well,
I love
Glenmore has like a balancing act where the end of the game, it's like it kind of brings you back down. So like whoever has the fewest number of tiles is kind of at like a level playing ground. And then whoever has more, like you get -3 points for each additional tile. So you're really trying to get tiles that will gain you at least like net you at least 3 points over mm-hmm. the course of the game. Mm-hmm. But the way this kind of works, you've got like this basic setup, like originally there are going to be buildings that are focused on giving you resources. Like I said, like you could get like sheep or, I don't know, like stuff like that. Sheep, wood.
Beer.
Yeah, but you're getting tiles like that. And it's very basic to start. And there are like three different ages, basically. So the first age, you're going to get a set number of tiles and it's kind of randomized. Like it's a stack of one tiles. So you're going through that, and once that stack is emptied, you're going to go to a scoring phase. And there are three main categories that you're scoring. You're scoring, like, the kegs of beer. You're scoring, like, the Scottish clansmen that you've got off of your tableau but in front of you. And then you're scoring special buildings which come up. There are a set number of special buildings. They're all going to be in the stacks, but they'll give you, like, different unique abilities. A lot of them are, like, one-time effects, plus they've got like a set action that's going to happen on your tableau anyway. So you've got those three different things that you're scoring, and it's a difference. Like whoever's got the least is going to be the one that you're comparing to. So like the difference is what you score. So say one person has like one keg of beer mm-hmm. and like Brant, if you had two kegs of beer and then someone else like Rachel or like if they had four kegs of beer, they've got four to my one, so they've got a difference of three. And Brant, you have a difference of like, the two to my one, which is another like one difference. And then you get different points based on that for each three category.
Mm, nice.
And it happens like three different ages. And then it's end game with like a couple other minor tweaks. You get points for like money, and then you have to do like any end game tile scoring. But I don't know. It's a really enjoyable game. It's one that I'd played a long time ago, and we kind of just dug it out recently just to kind of add it to the mix. And it plays pretty quickly, and it's pretty straightforward, but there's a lot of depth to what you're building with your tableau. So I know like you had played it a long time ago as well, right, Brant?
Yeah.
And did you enjoy it?
I do. I remember playing it. It was probably about 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I do remember liking it. I do want to go back to a point you said. You said it plays quickly. So you're saying that you and Rachel played it quickly?
Yes.
All right.
So,
and this is not a micro game.
Right. But the thing is, she could take one turn and I'll have like three turns in a row. So
nice.
Yeah. But it is like, it's pretty basic. Like it's not, I don't know, it might get a little old after a few more plays, but you do have different avenues where you could really focus on, you know, adding like villages to your tableau, which gain net you people and all that sort of stuff. I guess I didn't really explain how the tile placement works. When you're adding to your tableau, there's like one river that like runs through your village horizontally, and there's a road that runs through your village vertically. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of, that forces you to, like, that's your foundation of your village, right? You've got one tile that has the starting of a road and the start of the river. And then the different tiles that you're grabbing either have a village or a road or nothing at all. And you need to add it to, you need to add a tile that you pick up to your tableau so it's orthogonal to another tile that you already have. And you also have to have, like, one of your Scottish clansmen on, or you need to have a person next to the place that you're putting the tile. And then anything that's adjacent to that tile is going to activate, get you goods, or give you different abilities based on, like, some of the special abilities are pretty unique, so mm-hmm. those are nice to get. But that kind of makes it so each tile has a set number of actions that it can use during the course of the game.
Right.
So you could place, what is that? That's like eight tiles adjacent to it. Because when you're placing, you can count the diagonal, but you can't place diagonally. So,
right.
But you've got like those eight different actions during the course of the game that you can use for each tile. And it's just a really neat, because you're trying to not limit what you can get, but you also want to really focus on like a couple things. And, you know, like the points are kind of exponential, where if you have a huge differential, all of a sudden you've got this wide gap and you've taken the lead in a certain category. But there's a balancing act too there for like some of the other people that are trying to like kind of hinder what you're doing and also score their own points. So,
yeah, to me, this is one of those games where, you know, some games just need a lot. They need a lot of mechanics. They need a lot of elements. I mean, Stefan Feld kind of thrives on this, right? You got a lot of different things you could do, a lot of different mechanics, and you got to kind of put it all together and then kind of make a machine that works the best. But some games, like this one, it's just the mechanics are nice and simple, but it's the decisions you have to make that make it interesting.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what this game is like. And really, Five Tribes, to me, is like that too. You know, the mechanic is, hey, we're playing Mancala, and yeah, there's a little bit other scoring that goes on, but for the most part, the idea of what you do in Five Tribes is easy, but then I've got this whole board of decisions, and Glenmore's similar, but it gives you that track you're following.
Right.
So it's at least a little bit less.
Yeah, you've got that action track, and then it turns it almost into a puzzle. Like, each person's got their own puzzle to figure out.
Yeah. What am I willing to give up, or what can't I? And no, from my recollection, it's a game.
Yeah, I know it's kind of vague. Like, it's been a little while,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think we played this when we were, like, camping or something a long time
ago.
Yeah,
the time we were camping. Yep. So there you go. It's a good game to bring camping, because
it's a
small
box.
So that
was Glenmore from Alea or Ravensburger. Hopefully it'll either be in print or come back. So
it'd be a great reprint.
Yeah.
Somebody should reprint that one. They could update a little, too. All right, and the last game that we have on our table, Brian and I both played, so we'll both be able to comment on this, and that is Biblios. This is a Steve Finn game, and it's published by Aiello, or Yellow.
Or Yellow, whatever. Sorry, Yellow. However you want to pronounce it, I guess.
I usually say Yellow, and I just didn't this time. So this is a card game, and it has two phases. There's the gift phase and the auction phase. And the gift phase is basically drafting, and the auction phase is an auction. So it combines two things that I love in card games. I really like those. The theme is kind of like a monastery or a church. You're collecting different types of books and your scribes, and these kind of things. And so, definitely like an abstract card game, but there's, five dice that are out, and they're all put on the number three. And that's how many points you'll score in each category. Those represent five different colors. And so at the end of the game, you're going to total up, I have this many brown, I have this many blue, this many red, orange, green, all those different ones. Whoever has the most wins that die and gets that many points. But throughout the game, certain cards that people draft or auction for can knock the pips up on the dice up or down. So you could say, oh, I don't want that category, but somebody else does, so I'll knock that one down. Or, oh, I need this one, so I'll knock it up. So, I mean, typically things are going to end up at maybe a five or a two, somewhere in there. In terms of where they go, you're not going to have a lot of ones and sixes on the board, but that's the idea. So in the gift phase, what you do, what's neat with this drafting is you draw a number of cards equal to the number of players plus one. So in a four-player game, you draw five cards, but you draw them one at a time, and you have to make that decision. Well, I see something better, so it's got a little pressure luck in there. You draw a card, and either you can keep it, you don't show it to anybody, Or you can put it in the auction pile, which means it'll be auctioned in the second half of the game. Or you put it face up into like a draft. So three cards will end up in a draft. One will go to the auction pile. One goes to yourself. This isn't a four-player game. And then the player to your left drafts a card, the next player, and the other player gets the last card, and it's the next person's turn. And so you do this. You go through the whole deck of cards doing this, and you pull out cards for each game based on the number of players. So there's some cards that won't be in there every time. And everybody does this, and that takes, you think, 10 minutes, Brian?
Depending on who you're playing with.
Yeah, 10 to 15 minutes to do all the drafting. But it's pretty quick from turn to turn.
Yeah.
It can be a little boring if you're the, you know, last player or the third, because it's kind of like, well, I get these two, and clearly I'm going to take two gold over one gold, you know, or I just get handed a card. But, I mean, it's not that crazy long to get back to yours. And then you go to the auction phase. And so now in the auction phase, you have this pile of cards that weren't chosen by people, or they were chosen to be put there, and you shuffle them up. And you flip them over one at a time, and each person gets a chance to bid first, and you just bid. You just say, okay, I'm going to bid one gold, two gold, three gold. You go around. Once you pass, you can't bid again. It just goes to the highest bidder, and you turn in your gold cards, because there's also these gold cards in the deck. They're worth one, two, or three gold. You give up gold to buy the cards. Now, if a gold card comes up, instead of bidding gold for gold, you bid cards. So in this case, you're saying, I'll give up one card. I'll give up two cards. But they're face down. So you could give up gold cards. You could give up cards. You might just say, hey, red, I'm going to cut my losses. I'm not going to win that one. So I'll get rid of those cards. You go through there. And these church cards can also come up, which are the ones that let you maneuver the dice. So whoever wins those gets to go up and down. Or if you draft them, you do it immediately, which means you have a few less cards. And then the game's over, and everybody totals up what categories they have. And they look and see... what happens. So my reaction, I really like this game. It's a filler game. I mean, 30 minutes would be, I think it says 30 minutes on the box. That's about right to me for what it takes. There's just a lot. There's a lot of decision making. It did end up like in our four player game, and there were five dice. Everybody got one and the winner got two. And that was what determined it. And most of them were two, threes, and fours.
Did you think that was weird? Like,
I guess it's kind of expected.
Yeah, I mean...
But it was weird, like, oh, whoever gets two dice is the person. So what's that fifth category that somebody doesn't have? But it was hard to know.
But we also didn't play... Right, like, we weren't picking the knock the pips up and down intentionally. I feel like those were, like, forced upon people.
Yeah.
And you could... Like, people really could have been focusing more on trying to draft those or trying to auction, like, bid for them or whatnot.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was kind of forced and people were just kind of, like, playing it out. Like, they were almost like discarding that. So I don't know. I thought it was a little better as a four player game than a two player game. And that might've been just like the reaction. Like after the two player game, it was like, okay, that was okay. That wasn't my favorite filler, but we got it to the table. I got to try it at least. Right.
Yeah.
And then with the four player game, it felt a little more random to me, but it was also like, it also felt, like there were a couple things where like I was kicking myself for not like bidding my full, like the full amount in my hand when I could have done that and gotten like that extra die, you know,
yeah,
like with a different value or whatnot. But it felt like there were a couple decisions during that where it was like, oh, if this had happened or if this had changed, then this would have happened. I think the same thing happened with you where you could have like maybe discarded some like red card and like no one was fighting over that.
Yeah.
And, like, someone won with, like, only, like, one or two red cards. And it was just, like, one of those things where the after game felt like, oh, I could have done this and this differently, and it would have been interesting. But I think that reaction made it more of a, like, a more enjoyable game to me as the four-player game.
Yeah.
But.
I think I liked it better as a two-player game. But it might be more to my style. We're definitely different on certain things. Because there's a lot of cards that get removed. Mm-hmm. So there's a little more pressure luck element. Plus, in two-player, it's like, if I give up this card, like, I get a two-gold card, but I'm hoping for something better, but I give it up to the other player, I'm giving it directly to my competition, and I really don't know if I want to do that. So that was an interesting... That drafting phase became a little more interesting. The auction probably is a little more exciting with more people because you have to think about what was there, but...
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it as a four-player game. I really liked it as both. I've also played it more two-player than I've played. I think I've just played the one four-player game, and I think I've played three or four two-player games now, so that might just be the way I've played it. But
I wonder if just the way the auction did work out. Like, I think with the two-player game, I just kind of... I did allocate my gold well. Like, I just basically ended up with only, like, the numeric, like, the cards in my hand. Like, I didn't have any gold left over.
Right.
Which is just a tiebreaker, but... You know, like, so ideally you'd want to win outright and not have any gold in your hand. And then during the four-player game, I ended with a ton of gold in my hand, and there's nothing you can really do. Like,
yeah,
with the four-player game, it didn't feel like it was going to be a tie. I guess I could have lucked into it, but it felt like maybe I just didn't go in with the into the auction with the right mindset. But I think there was... There were a couple decisions that could have been made where it was like, oh, there are only like two cards left. I really do need to just go all out for this card.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And it's interesting, if I do my math correctly, in a two-player game, there's 60 cards in the deck. And so everybody ends up with 20 cards after the gift phase, minus any of the church cards. And there's 20 cards that get auctioned. And almost every time I've played it, it feels like a marathon. You're spending your gold. You're spending, you know, oh no, I have no gold left. Like, and then you got to hope that gold card gets there and you can buy another gold card to get another card. Or you just have like one or two left, but there's six cards. Like, it's like a marathon. Like, oh, you know, like there's all this time left because there's 20 cards to be auctioned. But in a four-player game, I believe there's 80 cards and we all got 16 and there were 16 to be auctioned. So it's interesting. Obviously, you have less cards, so there's less... cards to be auctioned, but it did feel more like that, like, oh, I didn't win that one, and oh, now I didn't win that one, and you're just kind of, oh, I'll win these smaller cards, I need to get rid of this gold, I need to get something.
Right.
So that's an interesting balance too that I hadn't thought about in terms of
and maybe too and with the like with the two-player game, that was the very first time I'd like either I played with my wife, with Rachel, and neither of us had played it before, and it felt like we were kind of going through, and I went into the game with the assumption that all of the colors were the same, like all the values and the distribution is the same. Like, but there are two colors that are different than the other three. So I think that might have, you know, adjusted the play a little bit. Like, it might have caused me to like to not really know what I was doing for a little bit as far as like end game score. Like, I thought I got like a couple threes in my hand, and I was like, oh, I'm doing really well in this color. And then I realized that there were like twos, threes, and fours, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not doing as well as I thought. So it might have been a little bit different if I had known that. But with the four-player game, it didn't really feel like... It just felt like you were kind of playing on the fly a little bit more, where it was like, hey, I got that card. I didn't expect it, but it came to me. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
But to me, definitely the perfect filler, because it warrants more plays. And maybe you learn some more of that as you play and go from there. But I really liked it.
As a two-player filler, would you rather be doing this? Like, would you pull this out? Or what was it, Longhorn? Or
Good question. I think I like Biblios better.
Okay.
So maybe I'll have to give another two-player try.
So I'll probably like Longhorn better.
Yes. We have a long car ride. Maybe we can play him in the scene.
Yeah, but we got to play Targi, right?
That's right. We got to set that up. So
while Larry's driving.
We have big plans for our drive. So we'll see how that goes. All right, so that's what's on your table. Okay, so let's move on to our discussion topic this week, and it is Gen Con 2015, because we are almost on our way. So I'm super excited. I've never been to Gen Con. Brian, have you been to Gen Con?
Nope.
All right, so this is our first time. We're in Connecticut. We've got to go to Indianapolis, so it's about 13 hours of driving. So we are heading out Tuesday morning. Right now, we're recording this on Sunday, and we are leaving 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. We're going with one other person from the store, Larry, and we are driving out there in one day, and then get ready for the show. We'll probably play a game Tuesday night. That's the reason for leaving early, right? So we get there early so we have time to play a game.
Yeah, you guys didn't like the idea of playing a game before we left. Get up to the store wherever we leave from and play a game and then leave and then get there and play more games.
Yeah. No, I got to swim in the pool and order room service. So we'll be out there. And then we're doing Wednesday. So tell us a little bit about what we'll be doing Wednesday, Thursday, those days, Brian. What you know?
Yeah, so I guess we're kind of going into it without a whole lot of stuff scheduled because it is our first one. We kind of want to see how it all plays out, maybe go into it next year, assuming it works out and whatnot. But go into next year thinking more in the lines of like, this is what I need to do. This is what I'm scheduling and whatnot. This year we're going up, we're going to go to Wednesday, which is like the trade day. So it seems like they've got a lot of like retailer and educational like forums, or like there are a lot of people that are there kind of doing like demonstrations or helping retailers and like teachers or librarians, that sort of stuff. So it seems like that day is kind of focused on that. And then after that, I really don't know what's going on. Like, we're going to go to the Fantasy Flight in-flight report. We've already got that locked in. But besides that, it's very open. We do have to find some time to record the podcast up there. But I am really going into it without any expectations about like about what we're doing like on an hour-by-hour basis. There are definitely some vendors that we need to touch base with and just see, like, we want to try new stuff and see what's going to be valuable to bring into the store, see what can kind of hit in the wheelhouse for our customer base. But I don't know. We really have to figure it out kind of as we go this year, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think the trade day on Wednesday finishes up at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So then there'll be some stuff we can do at night. I think there's some open gaming areas and stuff like that. So we'll be able to check out some new things, some things that we've got or that are coming out or whatever. So that'll be good. And then Thursday, I believe we get in a little bit earlier than consumers. So we'll have an hour in the retail hall to go around and talk to people and look at games. And
which sounds like a long time till you're actually there,
oh,
I feel
yeah,
like.
No. And then I believe at 10 a.m. the doors open and they call that the running of the bulls. The hot games, from what I know, that people think are going to sell out immediately are Codenames and Mysterium are two that I've heard big things from, which is interesting because typically it's Fantasy Flight, Asmodee, and I don't think those are there. Is Mysterium Asmodee?
Yeah. I mean, it was Portal originally, but now it's Asmodee up here.
AEG usually has a big game. So some of those. So anyway, but everybody runs it. I'm sure every booth will be totally packed when they open those doors. So, Thursday will be, I think, our big deer in the headlights day, just like trying to meander that hall. And all the people, I actually jokingly, I feel like I'm kind of Brian's assistant for this. He manages the store and everything, and he definitely has had some time to look over stuff, but I've been trying to pore over Gen Con things and organize us. And I've got like spreadsheeted us out so we know where we're going and giving people tasks. So I feel like my job is kind of to be in the know and then kind of pass that information off to you guys. So I feel like I have more information. I don't know how useful that is, but that'll be what our car trip is for, getting some of that information and kind of scheduling us out. We just want to try, like Brian was saying, demo different stuff so we see what would be good for our store, talk to the retailers, talk to distributors, talk to game designers, and find things that will be useful to us, unique things, set up stuff, network. A big part of it is networking for future years when we go to meet with people, or for coming up with different ideas, or even talking to some people that could come to the store and do things there. I'm excited to meet Eric Summerer.
Yeah.
And he lives in Connecticut, and I want to see if we can get him to come on the podcast or come to the store or something like that. So that would be exciting. He's from the Dice Tower podcast. So stuff like that. And Tom Vassell. I'm excited to meet Tom Vassell, so that'll be good.
Yeah, and anything that we can do to, like, you know, even if it's just, like, brainstorming ideas or hearing what other people are doing that's successful for their locations, like, we need to work on we always need to be working on stuff at the store. We need to keep getting better at what we're doing, like, keeping organized play and that sort of stuff on, like, a steady flow, like making that work really well for what we've got, like our customer base and everything.
Right.
So, and really just trying to promote the hobby itself. Like that's what's really attracted me to this and what really got me hooked. You know, it's just something where you can kind of promote it and there are people that you can just hop into a conversation with. I know there was someone just up at the store the other day and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I really like this game. Talk to me about like Elysium or like Forbidden Star or stuff like that. And all of a sudden there's just conversation. I ended up staying there for a bit longer because I had to do all the work to catch up for like preemptive to leaving for Gen Con.
Yeah. Right. But yeah. So we'll do that. So I think Thursday will just kind of be that day. I'm really trying to leave that open so that just whatever chaos ensues. Friday, Larry and I are participating in the Pandemic National Championship. So you can cheer us on. I believe we're playing at 11 a.m. on Friday. So I'm excited to get the swag bag. Larry's excited because if we make it to the finals for that, we have a shot to win a trip to Essen in Germany, which would be incredible.
You guys probably can't cheat your way to Essen, though. Or is that a sore subject?
Moving on. So we're participating in that. And then following that, we're going to the Fantasy Flight in-flight report, which I'm excited for. I love Fantasy Flight. They have lots of good stuff, and they always announce big stuff. So Brian, actually, before this, we were just debating what we think it will be. They just made the big announcement about Fury of Dracula being reprinted. So that was a pretty big announcement, I think. Yeah. People really like that game, and it's been out of print. So that's a big deal. Maybe not left field. I mean, last year, it's hard to beat that when they announced Imperial Assault. I don't know. You can get people more excited than a Star Wars miniatures game. I mean,
right.
That's pretty much it. So
they do talk about, like, they've got so much stuff down the pipeline. I'm sure they've got, like, another big thing that they're working on. I just don't know. I can't imagine what it could be, but that's not really my job. So yeah,
I'm putting my money on Twilight Imperium 4 or some kind of Twilight Imperium property. I don't know if they come up with some 2- and 3-player version of the game or just a new edition of Twilight Imperium 3 just to upgrade what they already have, or if they actually make Twilight Imperium 4. But this is the 10th year anniversary. So it seems like this would be a good time for them to do something with it. I just think it'd be interesting to reboot that game because it's kind of complete. Like, there's a bunch there. If you reboot, then you're kind of going back to the start, and I'm not sure if people would want that, although it's such a popular game. I feel like it would work. So
I'm trying to think if there's anything that would really hit that for me. I guess, like, barring the unforeseen, but like, if there's something that I just don't even know that they're working on, like the main thing I'd be looking for would be like some more Lord of the Rings expansion or like a huge box for that, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun,
but I don't really, that's more of a wish. That's not really something I expect to see from them. But
yeah, I'm sure we'll hear about lots of exciting expansions. I mean, some of the stuff is, you kind of know they're going to announce it, but it's still exciting to see it. For me, the new Imperial Assault, I mean, they should have, I'm hoping they'll have there the new stuff for Imperial Assault, the next wave, but they'll probably announce whatever the wave is beyond that. They'll do something exciting with that. Forbidden Stars, I'm really excited. They got to announce, we got 4 new races coming out in a box or whatever it is, right? Or we've got these heroes or whatever. Something. They're going to have something for Forbidden Stars, so that should be really exciting because it seems like it's been, you know, people have just really liked that game and latched on. So we'll see that. We'll see the whole LCG line, what they're planning to do there. The new Game of Thrones is coming out at Gen Con, the second edition. So I definitely want to check that out and play it. I don't know that I'm going to get into Game of Thrones second edition. I might be past my prime with LCGs and CCGs and all that stuff at this point. I really just like a game that you open the box and you play.
It's a lot easier to do that, too. And if people are willing to play, like, if you had a group that was willing to play a certain one, but it's just tough. Like, there are so many things coming out. I know I can't really fully delve into some of those LCGs just because it's like, I want to try this game and this game and this game. I don't necessarily want to invest, like, weeks upon weeks into, like, one system.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, for the right one, I could see myself doing that. I know, like, I did have a couple phases. Like, I did have a phase for, like, Lord of the Rings LCG.
Yeah.
And that's one that I can see myself going back to, but I guess that's more scenario driven than head to head.
Right.
So
right. And then Saturday, I think that'll be dedicated to a lot of playing. That's what I really want to try to demo, or maybe games that we picked up. Which we're not planning to buy a lot between us, but we'll see how that goes. We really want to, you know, spend some time demoing and just bring a couple things home. You know, really want to dedicate that day to really playing, demoing, finding people that have bought stuff and playing in certain areas. And then Sunday is the family day. So I think we're just kind of taking that by stride, see how we are. And we'll head out sometime on Sunday, whether it be the morning and we don't really make it on Sunday, or the afternoon or the evening. And we'll make our drive home, I assume, through the night. We don't have a hotel, so we'll be sleeping in the car or something, but make our way home. So we'll be back on Monday, but we are planning, we're bringing our recorder, we're going to try to do a recording while we're there, And just keep you guys up to date on what's going on and what we've seen and what's happening. So what we want to do now is we're going to move into a segment here called Raditz's Rapid Reaction. actually, you've talked a lot in this episode, but typically I talk a lot. So I thought it'd be fun to just get Brian's reaction to a bunch of games at Gen Con that we put down. Now, if you go to Board Game Geek, there's a great list that's put up there by Eric Martin. Lots of people have talked about it. But we kind of made our own list of, like, we're going to look towards these games. I don't know that we'll get through every single game here, but I'm just going to talk about a game, and then Brian's going to give us his initial reaction from, I don't even know what you're talking about, I haven't heard of that, or, oh, I'm super excited, and so on and so forth. Before we start that, I want to talk about a couple games that we might not have on the list because we've gotten them already. So La Granja came in. That's a big new Stronghold game. We have a copy of that, and I think we're looking to play that ASAP, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll maybe not pre-Gen Con, but maybe that pre-Gen Con in the hotel room or like something
Tuesday,
like that.
So, I mean, yeah. So
I'm thinking in the back of the car, maybe on the way.
Yeah.
But we're excited for that. I'm trying to think of some other things. Brian was just telling me that Medieval Academy is set to come out like right around Gen Con or post-Gen Con.
I think that was available to like for us to order relatively soon, or it was something that was going to be coming in. Along with like Flick 'em Up from Z-Man Games was mm-hmm. another one that seemed to like hit, like we didn't get it in time for us to see it before Gen Con, but
right,
you know, if someone were flying in like, you know, Wednesday night or something, they might have, and now I guess we usually get orders on Thursday, so
yeah,
it's not before Gen Con for our store, but right after we should have some of that stuff.
And Larry and I are both getting the slight on our games. Larry kickstarted Blood Rage, so they're selling Blood Rage at Gen Con, but the Kickstarters are not getting it till later. So that's one that, you know, we'll see there, but we may not talk about much here. And then I pre-ordered Ashes, and it's on its way to my house, but pretty sure the arrival date will be sometime late this week, and I'll be at Gen Con already, so I won't have that. So those are some others that that are on there. So all right, here we go. You ready, Brian?
Hopefully.
He doesn't know what he's getting into. All right, we got a bunch of games here, so we'll go down this list of what we're looking at and just give us your reaction. All right, so what do you think about Tides of Time?
I mean, it looks like it would be fun, but I don't know.
All right, Tides of Time, that's a two-player game from Portal, card drafting game.
Oh, I definitely want to try it. I don't know, that sounded a lot more negative than I wanted it to be. It's one that I want to try. I don't know if it'll be lasting. I don't know if it hits what I want from a game.
All right, how about Queen's Architect?
Yeah, that looks awesome. I don't know much about it. I just know that it's going to be around, and I want to try that one.
All right. Champions of Midgard.
Don't know. I haven't really heard much about that.
Mysterium.
Yeah, that game is awesome. I've played it before, and I want to get that as soon as possible.
All right, Mysterium. That was one of the ones they say is going to be really popular. Discoveries.
Look, sounds cool. I need to see it. I want to demo that, so that one's one to hit at a vendor table.
We played Lewis and Clark the other night, but you didn't play with us, right?
Right, I played
so
that a long
like
time
two
ago.
2 years or so since you played Lewis and Clark?
Yeah, about, I guess.
So this is a, I don't know, a lot of people call it Lewis and Clark the dice game. I don't think it's quite that direct, or it's not intended to be that much simpler, but a lot of people are excited for that one.
Yeah, I
want to
try it.
Flick 'em Up, we talked about. Codenames.
Yeah, I don't know if that's hit what I want from a game. But
kind of a party game. And I'm not promising that all of these are purchasable at
right.
Gen Con. We're just talking about stuff that we know is there. Now, like I said, we're going majority to demo. We're okay with walking away knowing this is coming out in a few months. So we're interested in demoing all these games. That's what we're looking at here, or at least Brian's telling us. Mare Nostrum Empires.
Yeah, that I already kickstarted that. Hopefully Rachel's not listening, but that one is backed, and that one, like, Academy Games has a lot of good stuff, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm really liking Academy Games the more I play them. I really want to play Conflict of Heroes.
Okay,
so I'm totally interested in that one, so I'm looking at that. Ooh, actually I know about this one, Craft Wagon.
Oh yeah, I own that. We'll be bringing that up to, and that game looks awesome. That's the guy who did Glenmore, so
oh, nice. Yeah. And Lancaster, which Larry's been dying to play.
Yeah.
So we got to do that. Valley of the Kings Afterlife.
Yeah, that's another one in the same vein of Valley. Like, there was the original Valley of the Kings, right?
Yep.
And now this is the second one in that series.
Correct.
Okay, then I'm excited for it. Valley of Kings is an awesome two-player game. Or I think, is it just two-player?
I played it
two-player, and it was awesome, yeah.
Oh, nice. I really want to play it. I think I learned it, but I don't think I probably played it solo. For people who don't know, I learn a lot of games and play them solo, and then I count that as playing them, and then other people are like, that doesn't count as playing it. So
yeah, we might make fun of him a little bit.
It's
but
the great debate of whether I've actually played it or not.
Yeah,
I think I'm a great person at solo. Like, I could play three or four people and get a feel. Now, some games, it just doesn't work at all.
Right.
But most games, I have a pretty good, like, oh, I'll just forget what was, like, I'm not going to play because I know what's in their hand. But yeah, anyway.
I guess I'm a little jealous because my brain doesn't, I can't set it up and just play like that. I'd need to be playing with other people, and I don't know. It doesn't work as well when you're trying to teach a game. Some can fall flat. So.
Yeah. So I believe Valley of the Kings, though, I think it's both an expansion and a standalone, which I love that. That's always awesome, because then you feel like you could just do that.
Yeah, but then you get overwhelmed. Like, there's so many. I'm thinking of, like, the Lost Legacy games. Like, I don't know. They're all kind of floating around. I don't think they're all combined, but
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, so I'm excited for Valley of the Kings Afterlife.
He's excited for it. All right. Broom Service.
Do you want me to bring that?
Sorry, I missed a couple of these when I started our beginning list. All right. That one, Kenner Spiel des Jahres.
Yeah, it looks okay. I mean, I think I'm more excited for the other nominees, but
I love Elysium.
Yeah.
And Elysium. I'm dying to play Orleans.
Yeah, that one looks awesome. But Broom Service, maybe it'll just hit that right one. Like, it doesn't jump off the board as like, oh my gosh, this is the one that I want to get to the table, but maybe after we've played it, like, it looks interesting enough. I don't want to knock it without trying it, but
yeah. All right, City of Gears.
Yeah, is that the Dice Tower Essentials?
It is. Good job. Yeah, Brian.
No, that one looks really, like, that sounds good. I don't know much about it. Like, Sheriff of Nottingham is great, so hopefully this one kind of follows in that same line.
Nice. Matanai.
Yeah, I backed this one as well, so I'll be picking that up at Gen Con. That's the spiritual successor to Glory to Rome.
Yeah,
so,
and we love Glory to Rome. Yeah, it's such a good game. I don't even care if the artwork is crappy.
I like the artwork. I don't know, that's a whole debate. we'll get into that later.
All right. Castles of Mad King Ludwig Shadows.
Yeah, I've only played the base game once, so I want to play it again, and I'm excited for more stuff. Like, expansions that add more stuff to great game are awesome anyway. So
I played Castles of Mad King Ludwig more than I've played Suburbia, but I think I like Suburbia better. But I'm interested now in trying Suburbia again. But I think Suburbia is a little more thinky. It's got a little more going on, but it's a little more crazy because you, like, lose population as you gain income, and Castles is much more straightforward. But then you wonder, would I rather just play a game that's not as crazy and takes 45 minutes to an hour than play something that takes two? You know what I mean? It's always that balance of which is more exciting. So,
and you're just building a castle, which is awesome, right?
Like, building the castle is pretty cool. Although it's short. It's like, oh, I got 8 rooms and I'm
right,
done.
You want to do
rooms.
A lot more.
Yeah, you want to build more. You want this big,
maybe that's
crazy
what this does. I don't know much about
that'd
the
be a
expansion.
Good expansion. Yeah, that'd be so easy for him to write in there, right?
Yeah.
Write an expansion that just says, this is how you play the game twice as long. Medieval Academy, we mentioned up front. I just want to mention quick here, this is like a card drafting game. It looks really cool.
Yeah. I haven't watched like a video, like a run through or anything, but that one's got a lot of hype behind it, and I want to try it. And I think that one will hit the right spot for our store.
Yeah, definitely. That could be very popular. New York 1901.
Yeah, that looks awesome. That's another blue-orange game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try that one out, and hopefully it kind of fits in the same scheme as the other stuff that they've got.
Code of Nine.
Yeah, I don't know much about it, but I'm intrigued. But I think, is that one of the ones that's kind of come over from like a Japanese designer? I might be wrong. I don't quote me on this, though.
No, it is. You're right.
Is it? And it's Z-Man that's doing it?
Is it the same guy that made Tragedy Looper?
Maybe.
Baka Fire?
I don't know. I'm intrigued by all that sort of stuff. Like, anything that kind of comes over like that. If it gets the U.S. market, I feel like there's enough support, and it's one that's intriguing at least.
Above and Below.
Yeah, I don't remember much about this one, so
it's Red Raven Games.
Okay.
Ryan Lockett.
I need to try their games. I haven't played any of his. So.
You haven't played them yet?
No.
City of Iron.
They've been sitting there.
Ancient
ones
World.
That I want to try.
8 Minute Empire. Probably missing some.
Eight
oh, he's got
Empire
the space
Legends.
One.
What space one?
I'm not going to remember it right now. But that was like one of his first ones. What was the one you just said? Oh, 8-Minute Empire.
Legends.
8-Minute Legends. No. So there. All right. Artifacts, Inc.
Yeah, it's a vague recollection. That one sounded interesting. I think there were a couple that I just threw on the list because I wanted to see what they're like. I need to find out more from it. So
your face is classic when you try to figure out these games because I'm throwing them at you so fast. I love it. All right.
It's an audio podcast.
I know, but I'm just letting the listeners know. Your face is hilarious. Roll for the Galaxy Ambition.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
We need to play more Roll for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
We don't play that enough.
That one just kind of, we played it a couple times and then it just fell off the face of the earth. So,
no, it's at my house under a pile.
Oh, okay.
I know where it is on Earth.
That one didn't get lost?
No. All right. This is just the show where you just want to pull up all my faults, huh? All right. I lost one of Brian Raditz's games and he replaced it even though I offered and I admit it. All right. I have two faults. All right. Moving on. Between Two Cities.
I don't remember which one this is.
Stonemaier.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that looks good.
I think it's like a 2-7 player drafting game. It almost seems like it has a, it's not Civ building.
I should have grabbed like a laptop or something to just plop in front of, so I could like at least see the picture so it would jog my memory. Stonemaier is awesome. Like I've played Viticulture, Euphoria. Those are their biggest ones mm-hmm. that are out right now. And those were both awesome, I think. I think those are the two biggest ones that they've got. And those were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and Viticulture Tuscany is great.
So Stonemaier, the one that I'm not as excited about is, I think, Scythe.
I'm so excited
for
that.
But I don't think that hits the right theme, or maybe it'll be fun anyway, but...
Yeah, I think it's going to be more Euro-y than it looks.
I hope so.
I think to you it looks less Euro-y. And I think
it looks like it's just like a tactical skirmish sort of just roll dice and...
We'll see. Starfighter.
What was that? Who makes that one?
You know what? I don't know. And this is one that I did not put on here, so I was hoping you would know more. But it's a 2-player. It's not real grand, is it? I don't know.
That doesn't sound right, but it could be. I don't know.
Yeah, but
that one looks
fun. I know
fun.
It's a 2-player kind of.
Is that Asmodee?
Yeah, I think it is. Now you say that. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I mean, I put them on there for a reason. I don't know exactly what it was, but that one sounded interesting.
Mistfall.
That one's not going to be at Gen Con.
No, it's going to be demoed.
It's going to be demoed.
Mm-hmm.
That one seemed intriguing. I don't remember much about it.
It's a fantasy card game, and you have your characters. And you have, like, a deck of cards for your characters with all their abilities. And there's different scenarios. You have to kind of, like, follow a path and you fight different monsters. But the battles are, like, long. They're almost like MMORPG battles.
Who makes this one?
NSKN Games.
Okay.
It was kickstarted.
Okay.
So you got a bunch of cards and you've got to figure out, okay, if I pull these two and you pull those two and we let this guy just kind of free wander and fire at us, and how do we kind of maneuver? So it's almost like a puzzle and the battles take several rounds. So it seems really interesting to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like something would be really fun for Kathy and I to play. I feel like we really love that kind of stuff. It might be fine with more people, but it might be even more complicated. Like, okay, now we've got 10 enemies and we got to divide them amongst 4 people. But when you've got 6 enemies between 2 people, that might be a little more, reasonable to think out. So
I want to demo it, and I don't know. I remember the picture looking cool. So that's about as much as I can go on a lot of these.
Perplexed Line of Games.
Yeah, that looks really intriguing. Do you know anything about this?
I don't.
There are a ton of smaller games that look like they just kind of fit in. Like it almost seems like, what's that other company?
Are these all the ones that are supposed to be a pack of gum?
Yeah, I think they're those tiny ones.
They're all 3 letters, like gum, bus, hue.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've seen them. The packaging looks intriguing, at least, mm-hmm. and it's something I want to...
That should be a fun booth. They should have a really fun booth.
Hopefully.
I'm calling it now.
All right.
Fun booth of the con should be them, because they should be interesting. They should be pulling you over and, check this out and this. Okay, it's going to be Fantasy Flight. We know that's the fun booth of the con.
No, I mean, there are others that I feel like they really... Like, I think Crossmaster Arena, a couple of years ago at Gamma, had, this really cool, a giant setup, and they just...
That's cool. That's true.
And that wasn't, as huge, Gen Con, I feel like they do have a lot of stuff where it's like, hey, look, come play giant Robo Rally, or come play giant Settlers of Catan or King of Tokyo. But at Gamma, it wasn't like, no, it wasn't Gamma. It was Toy Fair, New York Toy Fair a couple years ago. And it was kind of off to the, like, the back corner, and it was, it looked really cool. So, I mean, there are other companies that I feel like are going to be engaging in different ways. Like, they'll grab, like, mascots and just try to, like,
yeah,
you know, run up to you or whatnot. But
I'm, you know where I'm afraid I'll get stuck?
Fantasy Flight?
Yeah. Haba.
Oh, yeah.
I am a sucker for those fiddly kids games with the big wooden bits and everything.
Yeah, I'm, we just played just Animal Upon Animal right before we came out here.
I'm afraid that I'll be stuck looking for stuff for my two daughters and everything, and just, hey, there goes 2 hours, because, I don't know, they should have a fun booth. I mean, they should have all this stuff set up.
You'll be carrying this huge stack of these yellow games. Well, not yellow, not the company yellow, but the colored yellow boxes, with Haba written on it.
Yeah, I'll be like, but honey, they're so good. They're for our kids' education. We'll see how that goes. All right. I don't know this game. Race to the North Pole.
Yeah, I'm only picturing, like, I can only see the picture, but that one looked cool. I mean, I'm a sucker for racing games anyway, so. I think it's racing. Is it racing?
Is it South Pole?
I don't know. Maybe I wrote it
wrong. Know the stories of all the races to the South Pole, but I don't know anything about the North Pole.
Maybe it's not even, I don't know much about it. I think I saw race and pole, and it sounded like, what, it's North Pole?
I think it's a miniatures battle game, Brian.
Oh, no. Take it off.
All right. Frostgrave.
Yeah, is that Osprey?
Yep.
Those, like, there's another one. The next one's Osprey as well, I think, right?
King is Dead?
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to hit what I'm looking for, but Osprey is really intriguing as a company. Like, they make a really good book line, and I want to see if, I haven't played any of their games. Mostly they have like wargaming rules or stuff like that. Like, but I don't know. They do have good production quality, like, for their books, and I want to see what it's about at least.
Yeah. Nice. Spirit Island.
Who makes that one? Did I not write that on there?
Not on here. I haven't even heard of that. I know there's like the Isle in the Sky, and there's Spirits of the Rice Paddies, but I don't know Spirit Island.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when I was pulling stuff on, putting it on the list, it was just like random stuff that I didn't know anything about.
Nice.
That we wouldn't be necessarily getting at the store. But I want to try that out.
I'm excited for this one. Stockpile.
Yeah, that one looks cool. And it's got a lot of buzz. I want to see if it's available. That one would be one I'd be considering picking up at
Picking
Gen
up
Con.
There. Nice. Tesla versus Edison.
Yeah, the theme really kind of hits that mark. I want to try that if it's available to demo. If not, I'd be interested in finding more about it.
Grow, the organic building game.
Yeah, have you seen pictures of that?
It's reverse Jenga.
Yeah, that one looks cool. I mean, it looks like something that won't necessarily get to our store, but I want to check it out. It sounds like it would be a fun, like, dexterity game.
All right, a couple other here. I don't know anything about World's Fair 1893. Boring title.
That one seems like it. I like the title.
People really like Brussels 1893.
Except
we thought it was
okay. Played it wrong.
Yeah, well, we played it wrong.
Yeah.
Warehouse 51.
Which one? That's
okay. The theme is hilarious. Are you ready?
Yeah.
America's gone bankrupt. So we decide to sell everything in Warehouse 51, which is like Area 51. So we start selling all this hilarious stuff. Like, we've got, you know, Elvis memorabilia, stuff about JFK, Aladdin's lamp, you know, the key to Atlantis City, underwater.
Yeah, like, so I mean,
we
it
just sell
like
out all this
be...
stuff, UFOs. So we're just selling it all. So it's a silly game, but
yeah,
the theme is funny. New Bedford.
That one looks cool. I don't know like how the gameplay is, but I want to at least try it out if it's available. Or it looks like it's in the Northeast, right? Like, it's kind of set in New Bedford,
Massachusetts. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's about whaling, whaling industry, where that went. New Salem.
I put that on there. I don't think it's my style of game, but I want to check it out.
All right. The last four I put on here, so I want you to tell me which of these is interesting to you. The Undercity, Letter Tycoon, Big Book of Madness, and Game of Thrones Second Edition.
What were the first two?
The Undercity
and Letter Tycoon.
And Letter Tycoon.
Yeah, I don't know anything about those two. So I guess the Game of Thrones second edition, like the LCG, that one's intriguing because it was one that was kind of pushed out. Like, I could not justify getting into that when I started gaming because it was already, like, at whatever, like, it would have been a huge investment to get into it. So I want to see how it plays from, like, square one.
I think you'll like Letter Tycoon. Can I tell you about that one?
No, oh, you might have told
me about this. I'm
going to
tell you about it. Did I tell you? I'll tell
the, like, listeners. Paperback, yeah. Sort of thing?
Yeah, so it's like paperback where you're trying to spell words and you have certain letters. And so you spell a word and you get money for spelling your word. Everything's worth dollars, kind of like it would be in Scrabble, worth points. So you get dollars and then you can use your money to buy letters. So you basically buy stock in a letter. And now you own the rights to the letter J. And anytime somebody uses a J, they have to pay you money. So they're making money by using it, but they have to pay you a cut, or I think it's a flat fee. And obviously, like, E is going to be, you know, kind of expensive to buy and don't get as much for it because it's more common. The least common letters, in addition to giving you money, you get a special ability. So it might be like, oh, you can use another letter in a word without having to pay the person, or you get double the points if you use a double letter, or whatever it is, something like that. So they have different abilities like that, and you just play through it. And apparently the art style is really neat. I've seen a couple pictures, but nothing too close. So that looks really exciting to me and looks like one of those games you could pull out with anybody. It's like, this is like Scrabble, but you have cards in your hand.
Yeah, but I don't know. That doesn't sound exciting to me. I guess I always feel stupid when I play Scrabble. Because
You don't know your two-letter words?
No, I don't. And I'm not... I don't know. My mind doesn't work in the same way.
I could definitely have that element. So we'll see how that is. Anything else for the good of the order?
Is that a game?
No.
For our podcast?
For our podcast. That was our Gen Con 2015. We definitely missed some games that we're going to see there. Moon, I'm excited to try out. That's the BSG Express. I know BSG is not your favorite,
yeah.
But I'm excited for that. Are there
other
things
you could
think of?
If you could see my face just kind of sour. Like.
But maybe you'll like it if it's an hour.
No, right. No, maybe I'll give it a shot.
We're goofy today. We must be excited that we're going to Gen Con. Any other games you could think of we didn't hit on that list that you know of?
I'm sure we missed some, but I can't think of anything. That was a couple weeks ago where we grabbed a lot of that stuff from the BGG list. So if there's something new that was added to it, I don't know. I guess we didn't really like some of the stuff that's already out. Like Flick 'Em Up, I really want to try that. Yeah. I want to demo Flick 'Em Up.
That's going to be super exciting.
And they already announced an expansion even before we got the base game.
Horses. So. You can ride horses.
Oh, yeah. You're not saying another game. I thought there was a game, horses.
I'm confusing you today.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, nothing else is jumping out. I'm sure we missed stuff and I'm sure stuff will be announced. So
yeah. So the next time we talk to you guys, we should be at Gen Con. So that'll be really exciting. We'll be talking about the games we've been playing, what we've been seeing, everything that's been going on. But until then, we hope you step into the portal. I am The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian Raddatz.
Thank you for listening. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on July 26, 2015. Please send any question to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Omar Naaman and Epic Arts for assisting in the recording of this podcast. Thank you again for listening.